Highways Voices, the podcast of Highways News, your one-stop destination for all the news about the highways and transport technology industries, and our must-read daily newsletter.
This week on Highways Voices, it's all location, location, location.
You couldn't do ride sharing if you didn't have a digital map. You really would struggle to do e-commerce because the deliveries couldn't estimate ETAs accurately, couldn't route and navigate to the various drop-off points. And generally, you know, logistics would start to really become very inefficient.
We look at how the latest map technology makes smart mobility possible and what we can do with millimeter precision maps, connected vehicles, and even road surface friction. You're in the right place to find out more. You're with Highways Voices.
Highways Voices, in association with partner organizations, the Transport Technology Forum, ITS UK, LCRIG, and ADEPT.
We'll be joined by Jason Jamison, Chief Customer Officer at Hear Technologies, in a moment after Highways News co-owner Adrian Tatum brings us his pick of some stories off our website.
New statistics from a campaign set up to eradicate abuse of public-facing workers shows that physical and verbal abuse is on the rise again. Over 2,300 workers reported being either verbally or physically abused whilst at work out on the public highway alone. This forms part of the Stamp It Out campaign set up to eradicate abuse of public-facing workers, including those who work on the public highway. Furthermore, a new public-facing campaign, Think Respect, launched during this week's Respect Our Workforce Week in helping raise awareness of the challenges facing public-facing workers when they are verbally and physically abused, including those who work in retail, transport, and those who work on the roads. Over 60% of those public-facing roles admit they are abused on a weekly basis. Over 70 admit they are abused at least once a month, said the campaign. The most shocking instance of clue, including a gang that attacks an entire work site and attacked a worker with plant equipment and weapons, including baseball bats and woods. Some people have had guns and knives pulled on them. Elsewhere, North East Lincolnshire Council and its delivery partner Equans are delivering 18 new traffic signal bus priority junctions across the borough in the upcoming months. The borough currently has 14 traffic signal bus priority junctions, and this will rise to 32 by the end of this year. Traffic signal bus priority junctions have technology to recognise if buses are running more than 3 minutes late, and if so, the green light is extended to allow the bus to go through to keep them running on time. Having more traffic signal bus priority junctions will improve bus services around North East Lincolnshire by reducing delays and increasing bus passenger satisfaction. And its annual programme gears up for the spring with extra funding. Dorset Council is set to bolster its proactive measures to look after its roads. These include more pothole repairs, resurfacing and preventative treatments such as asphalt preservation. This is to manage the road condition and maintain the highway safely. Over $2 million each year for the 3 years of 2023 to 24 and 24 to 25 for the Transport Network North Fund from the reallocated HS2 government funding, together with other maintenance and pothole funds, will be dedicated to carriageway maintenance in the council area. The council is also allocating an additional $6 million from its own budget for highway maintenance. This will be invested in more proactive maintenance to preserve the condition of the roads.
You'll always be up to date with the big stories from the industry if you check the Highways News website or our X and LinkedIn pages, and as long as you've subscribed our daily email, which comes into your inbox every lunchtime.
Swarco improves quality of life by making the travel experience safer, quicker, more convenient, and environmentally sound. From software as a service traffic management solutions to parking, VMS, EV charging and road marking too, find out how Swarco can deliver more efficient and safer traffic management. Swarco, the better way, every day.
This week on Highways Voices, let's think about maps, mapping and location, and how different our industry would be without dynamic digital maps that carry so much information. Hear Technologies are one of the world's leading mapping companies. In fact, some would say they're the leading one, and they're constantly innovating with new products, partnerships and projects. In fact, their latest ideas pop up into my inbox so often, I thought I'd get in touch with them and ask them onto the podcast so we can find out more about what's going on in the world of location. And Chief Customer Officer at Hear Technologies, Jason Jamison, joined me for a chat and started by reminding us exactly how important the technology is.
Well, Paul, I mean, the world runs on maps. And if you look at from the early days of creating a map to find directions or to map out how to move from place to place. It's always been with us as a society. But if you look at what's happened, there's been this shift to digitization. And in reality, this is digitizing more and more of the world and having it more accurate and fresh in terms of map content. And then getting to really high precision. And what this has really enabled, a lot of the things that we take for granted in society, you couldn't do ride sharing if you didn't have a digital map. You really would struggle to do e-commerce because the deliveries, you couldn't estimate ETAs accurately, couldn't route and navigate to the various drop-off points. And generally, you know, logistics would start to really become very inefficient without digital maps. I'll give you an example. Companies that work with here, you know, you move billions of parcels annually. And these are, you know, the e-commerce giants like DHL and many of the national postal services. Of course, there's trucking logistics firms who do the middle mile. I mean, so it's fundamental. And then the other piece, and the final point I'll make is that, you know, telematics, right, that sit in vehicle, particularly in heavy vehicles, to understand, you know, where those vehicles are traveling. And that's, you know, the top five telematics providers globally use our digital maps, right? And our navigation, other capabilities.
And you mentioned navigation, trying to explain to my children what life was like before we had sat navs, before you could just plug in a direction and off you went. You used to have to look at maps. Then the next step, the revolutionary step, was the route planner that we would print off. But the idea of having the ability to just get in a vehicle and just be guided to your destination is something that is really a 21st century solution.
Absolutely. I mean, we can all remember printing off those directions. You miss a turn and then you're kind of out of luck and you have to manually recalculate. And the beauty about, you know, even just sat-nav in general is that it can recalculate. But then you bring in dynamic data like traffic. So that, you know, and routing in moving into the new world, of course, electric vehicle routing, that actually is fundamentally different than internal combustion engines because they have different dynamics. They actually quite like stop-start traffic versus, you know, a petrol or diesel engine in terms of fuel economy. And so, you know, there's all those sorts of new areas. And then, of course, you look at what maps are also enabling, things like autonomous driving. And in fact, here is... well, the only company that has level three using our HD maps, it's two major car companies, which is BMW, Mercedes, have SAE level three autonomous driving, which is basically full hands off. These are on, you know, controlled access roads in certain parts of the world. Everyone hears about Tesla, but Tesla's only level two. Their autopilot is only level two autonomous. High definition maps, you know, down to the millimeter accuracy, where lanes are, really provide a way to enable all these new technologies. And in fact, without putting too fine a point on it, I mean, we have about 300 features and attributes on our high definition map that literally layer across the top of that map that captures a road network in really high detail. So that said, lane models, it's stop sign locations, it's intersection geometry, elevation, and much more.
Just want to ask you a bit more about the really high definition maps. And you said, you know, down to the millimeter, because it's kind of the question, if you were to develop a self-driving vehicle, how much of it you rely on sensors and then how much you rely on where am I and what does something that isn't in the car telling me is actually in my surroundings?
Yeah, it's a great question. And in fact, the answer is it's both, right? The car needs to know spatially where it is. And a map, a high definition map with precision positioning absolutely helps with that. The sensors gives it situational awareness. And that means, you know, knowing what's in the other lanes and that sort of very, very dynamic real-time piece. And, you know, the value of a high definition map is that you know where the intersection is coming up before the sensors can see it. You know the lane geometry, even if there's you know, things are obscured, like vision's obscured because of fog or rain, or even, you know, vehicles you know, traveling, you know, not in their lanes and all that sort of thing. So the high precision map is a fundamental foundation on which the sensor stack and the perception stack can then provide that level of additional spatial awareness. So it's a both discussion. You need both. And that's what we're seeing in the market right now, as I mentioned, with BMW Mercedes launching the first level three that's come out there.
Okay. And so we had a story not so long ago on Highways News about the problem that sat navs in Wales weren't keeping up with the speed limit changes. So as 20 mile an hour limits were rolled out, people were then driving along still at 30, because that's what their sat nav told them, and blaming that for why they were caught and got a ticket. So I guess that was one example. But my question is, how on earth do you keep up?
Yeah, so it actually goes to the heart of how do you keep a map fresh? How do you keep this real world representation, this digital representation of the real world fresh? The core of how we do it is that we have over 40 million connected vehicles sending us probe data that allows us to re-ingest that data and process it and then republish that out in terms of map updates. Things like, you know, you're talking about speed limits. I mean, there's the EU regulation called Intelligent Speed Assist, and we have over 50 auto brands for passenger commercial vehicles in the EU using our solution. Most of these are now in the process of have been homologated, and others are getting homologated. That's fundamentally the freshness of those speed limits are important. Now, things like work zones, you know, we get data feeds from governments because they typically advise where there's changes in temporary changes in speed limits, and that gets reflected in our solution, because these are connected solutions. That's actually the big difference from, you know, it was a generation ago where it was always a static map. Of course, people got smartphones and suddenly everything seems to be real time. Well, now cars have got catching up with that and have caught up with that and moving beyond it, as I said, with this super high definition map and, of course, the speed limit. So, you know, it's typically we get data from all sorts of sources and then we process that and publish it back out.
And is that a similar process for all the changes on maps?
We collect data from around 15,000 unique sources, including governments. For example, when they're planning new housing developments, there's often the roads are often gazetted or mapped out before the subdivision is completed, and so we actually have ingest that very early on. But we get, you know, data from all sorts of different places, not just from the connected vehicles that we have. So it's really about looking at getting the data from the most relevant sources, the most accurate and the freshest, and then ingesting that. And we have a very advanced engine that runs the, you know, that does all this ingestion and conflation and publishing of the map data and all the attributes and features that sit on top. And it's a very complex task. And I think people don't often stop to think about what's involved in making sure that you've got a very accurate representation of the world, but it is complex, but it's also, you know, very exciting.
Kind of the realization came to me, even though I'd been using mapping for 20 years within where I started off, and listeners to Highways Voices will be bored of me mentioning that I started my career in this industry running radio traffic news companies. So we had to know where everything was, where the incidents were, as we moved from sort of paper data onto having everything geolocated. The scales fell from my eyes when I came and visited HERE's huge pavilion at the Consumer Electronics Show in Las Vegas 5 years ago. And it then really sort of hit home to me what the importance of locations is to the whole of our industry. So looking at what you were up to at CES, because every year you're always making new announcements, so I just want to pick up and understand some of the things that you actually announced back in January in Vegas. And so you've started working with Uber. What's that all about?
We've been working with Uber for several years, you know, providing geolocation services to help improve Uber's platform. And this announcement really is the next stage of a long-term commitment to continue to bringing new functionality to the Uber platform. Specifically, this is about enhancing Uber's rideshare and food deliveries. And the idea is that Uber want to deliver a better user experience and want greater efficiency across those two business lines. I mean, Uber have millions and millions, tens of millions of rides a day. And it's about getting very accurate drop-off and pickup points at all sorts of locations like airports, stadiums, arenas, you know, high traffic areas. And this is done globally. So effectively, we're helping Uber, you know, deliver better customer outcomes for them using our map and attributes.
Because another, you're just thinking about pickup and so forth and deliveries. I'm a huge fan of What Three Words. I love the idea that you can phone someone up and tell them exactly where you are, or I can give details. I even have it on my email signature, my What Three Words of my office, so people can find me. Problem is, loads of people don't actually know what on earth you're talking about. So I still get delivery drivers phoning up saying, where are you? Because my house has a name and not a number. So it's slightly more difficult to find. And certainly if you're in a park or something, you want to get some food delivered, What Three Words is a great solution. I've seen that you're starting to work with What Three Words, but I'm interested in why it's taken so long for it to take off in some places where it's really taken off elsewhere. And what does a big company like here think of the concept and the solution?
So look, I mean, What Three Words is great. I've had the opportunity to spend some time with the founder, Chris, and, you know, what they've done is take, you know, map the world into sort of 3 by 3 meter square tiles. And basically, as you said, anywhere in the world has a unique three word combination that can geolocate. Of course, he's been doing work with What Three Words. We first partnered with them in 2020. For automotive customers, and this was to assist with in-vehicle precision navigation. Some major players, including Jaguar Land Rover, have enabled that technology with here, you know, very simply. And what we've now done with What Three Words is expanded the integration onto our platform. So we have a platform that has location services APIs, and this really now opens up What Three Words working with here across thousands of businesses, you know, in retail and mobility, in e-commerce, and of course, you know, the automotive sector as well. And it's really just done directly and seamlessly through anyone who has access to the here platform.
Okay, going through a couple of other things on the sort of menu of stuff you announced. You were talking about working with automakers. So what about the extension of your collaboration with Lotus?
We're very, very excited with the partnership with Lotus and ECARX, who've done a lot of the build work. What we're doing is expanding the presence of HERE navigation, which includes EV routing, EV range assistant, predictive routing. I can talk a little bit more about all those things, but net, it's designed to help mitigate range anxiety. So the partnership with Lotus is around their hyper GT electric vehicle called the Emeya. And so what we're doing is expanding on what we've done with already launched with Electra in market. And so that includes things like charge point of interest search, multi-stop routing. You get a range on map when you look on the screen and say, how far can I drive? You get range on route, you know, has estimated charging times at each charging station. And really, it's just designed to very simply allow folks now to take their EVs and plan longer journeys and just plan, you know, even throughout the week, and know that they're not going to get stuck without a charging station, and know that they have enough energy to get where they need to go. And obviously there's lots of interesting dynamics with EVs, right? As I mentioned, it isn't just about its distance traveled. It's to do with elevation. So the topography, you need to know how steep, how big the hills are. You need to know the curvature of the road. You need to know even things like road roughness to determine friction. And so these sorts of things, we work very closely with the auto car manufacturers to be able to tweak and refine this so that they get very accurate range to empty in particular, as well as ETAs, so estimated times of arrival.
You see here again, Jason, you're giving examples of more and more stuff that I'm just sitting there thinking, isn't that clever? The idea that it never occurred to me that road friction would be such an important thing to know and stick on a map. So are you finding in your sort of work on EV range factors that actually it's working, and that the range anxiety, are you finding that providing more of this data and helping people plan better is changing the outlook when it comes to EVs?
Look, it's necessary to do that because you're absolutely right. There is the reality of range anxiety and sort of the first iterations of EVs. Where's the nearest charging station? Is it available? Does it have the right plug connector? We obviously address all that. But there's some other things. So that's kind of like static, but there's also dynamic factors that we're doing with this EV range factors solution. And that includes things like weather, because temperature affects EV batteries. So if you know the weather, you can then better predict, particularly if it's changing weather, you're climbing up in a mountain, you're up A, going up a hill, B, it's getting a lot colder, your range is going to diminish quite substantially. The other thing that we do with dynamic information is temperature and wind on route information. Because if you have a headwind, your range is going to be reduced as well. And you can think, for example, particularly with trucking, because there's a much greater surface area for wind resistance to be impacted or affected by. And so those sorts of dynamic factors are also rolled into our EV range factors solution to allow much more accurate correlation to battery consumption and, of course, distance that can be traveled, and then sensibly plan where to stop to get a charge, right? And with the right plug, and that it's available.
What else is there? I mean, clearly you haven't finished. Mapping isn't finished and you can all just sit back and bank the money. You're still working really hard. What are the solutions and what are the features that you're adding onto onto your products that developers of intelligent transport solutions can actually think about using in the products that they're then developing for the future?
Well, I mean, I think you can, obviously I can't talk about specifics that aren't announced, but certainly I can talk about, what trends we're seeing. A good example is in the transportation industry. This is an industry that has only just started to digitize a lot of the delivery runs. You know, for a long time, it was just a printed out piece of paper that said, here are the addresses you've got to go deliver these parcels to. Being able to do very complex routing and fill trucks up full rather than have half empty trucks going point to point to destinations and doing what we call a tour plan, which is the most optimal way to distribute all these parcels to different drop off points, is to do it, like the traveling salesman problem, how to visit, every address in the street without backtracking over the same piece of road. In other words, to do it more efficiently. And this is once again done dynamically with traffic, done dynamically with other external inputs, such as road closures, also taking into account things like driver hours, so that you've got these constraints that you have to make sure that the deliveries need to be done within a certain window, and minimizing things like idle time, as well as where to actually go once you get to the destination, because maps often stop at the gate to a distribution yard. And knowing what's in the distribution yard, where to go, because some of these are pretty big facilities. Think about a big port, for example. We've got a good example where with the Port Authority of Singapore, where we've been able to build a solution that's reduced empty truck trips. That's a bit of a tongue twister. Empty truck trips by 50%. And that's a massive saving. It's an efficiency saving. It's obviously a sustainability saving because there's less fuel used and all that sort of thing. And this is all about planning digitally where to drop off, how you can fill trucks right up and they can go to multiple destinations. And so there's some really cool things there. But look, there's so many other things that we're doing. There's a whole software-defined vehicle and how there's a digital cockpit, what that will do to boost safety and efficiency, as well as the end customer experience, right? The rich digital screens and, augmented views of the real world peering, right? So a representation of the real world within the vehicle so that, you can make sure you're not going under bridges that are too low and all that sort of thing. So there's a lot of cool stuff that's happening.
And we'll keep you up to date with all that cool stuff that's happening on Highways News. And I'll be looking to catch up a bit more with here from Intertraffic Amsterdam, which takes place from the 16th to the 19th of April with my daily podcast sponsored by Swarco. You're listening to Highways Voices, where it's time to check in with our partners.
Highways Highways Voices, with the latest news and events from our partner organisations ElkRig, ADEPT, the Transport Technology Forum and ITS UK.
The Local Council Roads Innovation Group, ElkRig, has announced the official launch event for the Highways Maintenance Academy. It'll take place on Friday, the 22nd of March, between 11 and 1 at City Skills Salford. The Highways Maintenance Academy not only sets a new standard for education industry partnership, but also aims to address the critical skills shortage in the highway sector, providing promising opportunities and developing a new generation of talent. Operatives. The event will celebrate the opening of the new academy, which has been created through a pioneering partnership between Salford City College and ElkRig, and is an opportunity to meet some of the key partners involved. The Intelligent Transport Systems Supply Chain has thrown its support behind next month's Transport Technology Forum annual conference in Leicestershire, with a record 27 exhibitors signing up to meet local authorities, central government and consultancies at the three-day event. The Clearview Intelligence-sponsored conference from the 23rd to 25th of April at the Leonardo Hotel at Hinckley Island discusses government policy and showcases best practice and innovation in the use of technology in transport. So far, more than 130 public sector delegates have registered, with more than half of all English highway authorities represented. Although there are no more exhibition spaces, private sector representatives can still sign up for a place at the event. While there are also a limited number of fully funded public sector delegate packages, which include having hotel and catering costs covered. ITS UK has secured former Transport Secretary Chris Grayling as its guest speaker for the next Enforcement Forum meeting on the 2nd of May in Epsom. He'll give his advice and insights on how the industry can raise the issue of road safety up the political agenda. The event will also hear from PACTS, National Highways' Road Safety Advisor, and from the National Roads Policing Operations and Intelligence Unit, as well as getting an update about the HOTA call for evidence with the Home Office Science, Technology, Analysis and Research's Head of Strategy. ITS UK members can find out more and sign up by checking the email they've been sent. And the latest case study has been published by ADEPT as part of their joint campaign with COLAS on equality, diversity and inclusion. A Place for All: My Journey Through the Highways Industry is a case study focusing on a senior asset management technician for a local highways authority and sheds light on her experiences, challenges and triumphs. The campaign brings personal stories, perspectives and experiences to life and aims to foster greater inclusivity in the workplace. As part of the campaign, ADEPT will be publishing a series of case studies over the next few weeks. More information on Place for All can be found on ADEPT's workforce page.
Highways Voices with Paul Hutton and Adrian Tatum.
Finally, let's get back to Adrian for him to tip his hat to someone or some people doing great things in the industry. It's time for
Adrian's Accolade.
And my accolade this week goes to Transport for West Midlands' own Skills Academy. It has been marking International Women's Day last week and National Careers Week in March by encouraging women in the region to consider careers in transport. The sector has historically been male-dominated and faces the challenge of attracting and retaining diverse talents. In 2022, women made up just 19% of the West Midlands transport workforce, and the Transport Skills Academy, founded by Transport for West Midlands, part of the West Midlands Combined Authority, was launched in 2022 to inspire the future workforce to choose a career in transport while upskilling the existing regional workforce. A worthy winner of my accolade this week.
And thanks to Adrian for this week's
Adrian's Accolade.
And that will do it for a busy Highways Voices. Next week, we'll talk about connected and autonomous vehicles, including how Australian technology is delivering a driverless pod solution in Milton Keynes. We'll catch you then.
Highways Voices. Join us again next week for more insights from those that matter in the industry.